Let me tell you something about Ron Van Dam. He is not afraid to voice a controversial opinion now and then.
If you're eating 4 donuts for breakfast, you're probably eating a dozen donuts for lunch.
Whoa, slow it down, Radio Rebel. Don't burn it out all at once. You wild man. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
That's true.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'll be the one who's going to be substituting for Ron Van Dam today. Playing the part of Ron Van Dam today on the program will be Ron Van Dam. Ron Van Dam will be back next week, but right now Ron Van Dam is filling in. Thanks for being here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm filling in for myself. I hope I do a decent job. Otherwise, I can't fill in for myself anymore. Isn't that what life is? You're filling in for yourself until you come back. And you're not doing a great job at it. How is your summer going so far? It's almost half over. Whew, thank God, huh? This has been a weird one. I'm getting a little bit concerned about things. How about you? Have you heard? Are you listening? We're breaking records again. And I'm not talking about the disco craze when people were breaking records because they hated disco. If that were the case, but it's not, I'd be breaking rap records, because that's not music. But anyway, my parents told me this would happen. I can't believe it, but they told me this, and they were right. When I was growing up, I liked rock and roll. I still do. But my parents said, rock and roll music, it's disgusting. The Beatles, what are you talking about? That's not music. That's not music. That's like what are you talking about? It's like a C, F, G. That's it. Those are the three chords. That's all they know. Come on, man. That's not music. That's screaming and shouting and songs about people taking drugs and getting high. That's not music, Ron. That's not music. And I said, Mom and Dad, it is music. It's in my soul. That's not in your soul. That's in your pants, you idiot. Get your head out of the gutter. That's not music. And I thought, you know, when I grow up, I'm never going to say that to other people or to my children or to my illegitimate children or to my pets or to my turtle or to my psychiatrist. I'm never going to say the comment on their taste in music because that's very individual. And then I grew up and then rap came along. And I started saying, I don't, that rap's not music. That's like, that's just taking a beat and just making words up behind it. And that's rap is not rap won't last more than like a couple of years of popularity. Then they'll get back to some real music. But rap never went away. It was like your in-laws staying for more than a week. They just wouldn't leave. And I started saying publicly, as I just did, rap isn't music. That's just noise. Ron, you've turned into your parents. No, no, it can't be. Yes, Ron, you've turned into your parents. No.
Shut up! Ladies? Shut up!
Thank you. I've turned into my parents. I like peace and quiet. Oh my God, I've turned into my parents. How did this happen? Did I wake up one morning and look in the mirror and there were my parents in my face? How did this happen? You know what it's called? Getting a little bit older. It's true. I have friends that have just turned 40 years old, and guess what? They're not people anymore. They're my parents. Everybody turns into their own parents, and when they do, they get shocked. They get culture shocked. They go for shock therapy. I've turned into the very people who kept. I've turned into my parents. I've turned into. When you have children, I know I said the word. When you have children, that's pretty much when you turn into your parents. That's the turning point. Because when you turn into your parents, it's because you became a parent, apparently. That's the turning point. If you never want to grow up, Peter Pan, don't have children. Because that'll, maybe at first, but before you know it, you'll wake up and you'll become your parents. And people will start calling you by your parents' name because they think you're their parents. It's awful. It's awful. You walk around in a stupor all of a sudden. You start complaining about how you feel when you get up in the morning. How are you, Joe? How you doing?
My back, I don't know. It hurts so much. I don't know, maybe I'm getting a little arthritis in the back. Oh, gosh. Oh, the allergies, they're kicking in again. They're kicking in again. The allergies, oh my God.
It's what happens. It's when you start complaining about your health as a matter of basic conversation, you're getting older and turning into your parents. Yep. And you can tell when you're doing it. If someone says, how are you feeling? And you respond by saying, feeling great. What are you talking about? Feeling great. But when you respond by saying, oh, I don't know. I'm feeling okay. My groin hurts a little bit. No one kicked me there. No one kicked me in the groin, but it feels like someone did. And then for the next 3 hours, you and the person you're talking to are exchanging pain stories. I went to the doctor yesterday. Ay, the doctor says to me, Ron, you've got sciatica. I said, sciatica? I don't even know what that is. Oh, you'll know after the testing done. You'll know what the sciatica is. Yeah, it's true. It's true. When you watch TV and you see all those commercials for all those drugs you take because your tear ducts aren't working anymore, or take this vitamin for brain power, or you've got Icy Hot to put on your elbow. They've made a new copper elbow bandage so that you don't have arthritis in your elbow anymore. Your skin starts turning strange color. When you see all those commercials for over-the-counter and prescription drugs, when you look at the commercial and you say, oh boy, I could use that, that's it. You've turned the corner. You've turned the corner. When those things start to become appealing. Whew. I've told this story before. I have a doctor. She also is other people's doctor too. But she's my doctor. It's a woman, a fine lady. She's of Indian descent. I don't know why. When I go in there for my annual physical, which takes place now every 6 months. How's my annual physical every 6 months? You can't even call it that anymore. And she says, "Ron, how are you feeling?" I've started to say, "All right." It changed. I used to say, "I'm feeling great. Feeling good, doctor. How you doing? How you doing, babe?" But now it's, "Ron, how are you feeling? It's been 6 months since your last physical. How are you feeling?" I'm all right. Yeah. And then she says, "Oh, what's you got anything you wanna ask me?" "Yeah, I got a pain in my shoulder. It bothers me for a couple of hours a day." And her response is, "Yep, it's getting older, man. You're getting older." That's your medical response to my shoulder hurting? Yeah, you're getting older. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to prescribe something. Aren't you prescription happy? Don't you want to give me like shoulder X or shoulder be gone? Where's my prescription? So my shoulder pain, Ron, you're getting older. It's, let me know if the pain persists for more than 17 years. Wow, that's not right. I did an interview recently with a doctor, and there was a campaign to have everybody get their colonoscopy starting at age 45. I think it might have even been 40. And I thought to myself, holy crap, what the hell's going on? I thought you're not supposed to have your first colonoscopy till you're like 50 or 55. No, Ron, now it's 40 or 45. Because the incidence of colon cancer and colon problems has all of a sudden been starting earlier in our population. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's sweet. That's nice. That's nice. Pretty soon we're going to have a new expression. Yeah. I think now is, I think 50 is the new 40. Now it's going to be 40 is the new 70. I mean, how old are you? 40, but I feel like I'm 70. Well, you're getting older. Oh my God, no. I have shoes that are old. The sole is starting to wear away at the bottom of the shoe. And my toes are starting to pop out. And when I step in a puddle, my feet get wet. So I know the shoes probably have a hole in them somewhere. But I continue to wear them. Do you know why? Because as far as shoes are concerned, don't throw them out. They're just getting older. That's all. You can continue to wear them. They're just getting older. That's all. Don't worry about it. Shoes are funny, aren't they? Have you been shoe shopping recently? It's funny. It's funny. You see people go to a shoe store and they try on shoes on their dirty, smelly feet. And then they don't fit and they put the shoes back in the box like no one ever looked in the box before. They put that little cardboard insert back in and put the shoes back on the shelf. Now I'm starting to realize when I go shoe shopping, about 100 people have put their feet into this shoe that I'm trying on. And that's disgusting. The funniest thing about shoe shopping, and I'm not laughing all that hard, they have mirrors so you can see how you look in the shoes, but the mirrors are on the floor. So you can't see yourself. All you can see is your shoes on the foot. They're shoe mirrors for your feet. My feet now have their own mirrors. And people are walking around admiring their feet. It's like, well, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I don't know who's making these shoes anymore. I think it's a couple of nearsighted people in North Korea. I don't know where the shoes are made. Certainly not in the United States. Nothing's made here anymore, by the way. Nothing. If something's made in the United States, it's made with parts of the item from other countries where there's some kind of child labor going on.
How old are you, Bobby?
I'm 7 years old.
Time to go to the factory, Bobby. Make yourself useful, Bobby.
Yeah. Nothing's made here anymore. Nothing's made here. You can tell by, if you order something from Amazon, you know, it's, if they don't warehouse it, it's going to take a couple of months to get here from North Korea or somewhere, wherever they make the damn stuff now. I don't know. But the shoes, they don't even make shoes anymore. We don't make shoes anymore. We couldn't be, yeah. That used to be a profession, a cobbler. I thought a cobbler was like a dessert. No, cobbler was a person that made shoes. No, wait a minute, Ron. Cobbler is, that's, you know, when you have a cobblestone street, isn't that a cobbler? No. Cobbler is the person who used to make shoes. Wow, why didn't they call it a shoe person or a shoemaker? No, you're thinking of Willie Shoemaker. He was a jockey. No, this is a cobbler. Are you sure that's not a dessert? It may be. I don't know. I really don't know. I can't tell you. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hey, you've been a lot of fun, even though you haven't said a word. I think that's kind of what I wanted. I have a great guest today. He's a former congressman. He ran for president a couple of times. A very impressive man. Dennis Kucinich joins us. He's written a book recently, and he went through an experience as a mayor that pretty scary and pretty intense. And you usually think of politicians as just being these power-hungry people. That probably is the case for most of them. But Dennis Kucinich underwent quite an experience when he was a mayor before he got into national politics, and this book outlines that. It's quite fascinating, and we're going to speak to him momentarily. But first,
do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Former Congressman Dennis Kucinich joins us now. He's written a new book. It's fascinating. It's The Division of Light and Power. First of all, before we get started, I just wanted to tell you I admire you because of what you've done in the past and your services as mayor and candidate and Congress. And you are a man who stands for the truth and actually does things for humans. And I appreciate that, first of all. That's in comparison to
yeah. I really, I'm greatly appreciative of what you just said, because so much of the approach that I take in life is really based on a humanistic approach.
Yes.
And it's the it's the humanistic psychology that looks at people as being perfectible, that we can, just like our country, we can become a more perfect union, but it involves a continuing work by all of us. And when it comes to each of us as individuals, we can work on ourselves and be better people. And I always try to find the best in people, and that's what I try to work with.
Yeah, it's amazing some of the things you have to put up with, and this book kind of outlines what one goes through. I had no idea that the fight was so deep sometimes, just to have things make sense.
May I call you Ron?
Yes, please.
Okay. You know, Ron, the experience that I had in Cleveland, it's outlined in the book, The Division of Light and Power. Would have been enough for almost anyone who had who was a political veteran. Mm-hmm. And I had been in politics 10 years before I was mayor, but I was still only 31 years old. Mm-hmm. And like anyone 31 years old, even though you have experience, you know, you're suddenly thrown in the middle of a battle with corporate espionage and corporate sabotage and law firms and banks trying to upend the city to grab our municipal electric system. And then you add to that a mob-directed assassination plot, and it became the wild story which you're reading. But I'll tell you, as interesting a read as it is, I don't know that I could fully describe what it was like to live through it.
Yeah. Originally, I thought that this was a work of fiction. Of espionage, and I thought, wow, this Dennis can really write a story here. And then I read a little bit further and went, no, this actually happened.
It's like, yeah, and that, and you know, Ron, that's the thing about this story. When people understand that it's not fiction, is moreover, I've documented everything. Mm-hmm. And it took years to do the documentation, which is why the book, I was working on a book for 40 years. And I knew when I finally published it that there would be people who would say, oh, come on, Dennis, that never happened. Well, actually, it did. And I've got the proof. And the book is loaded with one document after another that backs up the narrative. And I appreciate that you recognize that a reader would look at it and go, come on. But, you know, when the proof's there, we delivered.
Yeah. Well, this was in the late 70s that you tackled this. And one might ask, are the 2020s any different than the late 70s? Does that still go on and not discussed really that much?
Well, you know, the mob isn't active in the way they were. I mean, now they've all moved to Wall Street, right?
Well, that's true.
I mean, they've moved into banking, and instead of loan sharking, they're into banking, and then they're into running certain funds.
Yes.
And they've gone legit, but they're still stealing from people.
Yeah, but monopolies like utility companies, et cetera, that seem to be regulated.
Still a problem.
Still a problem, yeah.
And, you know, in Ohio, remember, in the last year, this utility that has included the utility that I fought, they were pulled up short for trying to buy the Ohio legislature to get a $1 billion bailout on nuclear power plants that they probably shouldn't have ever built. And that was one of the issues in the book.
Yeah.
Now, to go to a deeper question that you raised, the corporate interference in government. Hey, look, you know, in Cleveland and across the country, you got big corporations who look at City Hall like a gas station. And when they need fuel for their various investments, they pull up and tell the mayor, fill her up.
Yeah.
And tax dollars get poured into enterprises in which the city doesn't get anything in return. And so that's still going on.
Sure.
I mean, it's all it's pay to play. And, you know, the politicians who are involved in running things at various levels in this area, you know, they get the contributions from these various interest groups, and then the interest groups get many times a reward in terms of public largesse. And so, you know, so in that way, now it hasn't changed. It's pretty much the same.
It is. It's a legalized mafia in the sense that we had a situation with a natural gas power plant, and a big thing going on. And then, because I was in the media, we started getting stories of payoffs to government officials to allow the thing to be built and to operate. And it was, whoa, that's not right, is it?
I mean, like, well, it's not right, but, you know, round up the usual suspects,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, this is what happens when you have government in service to private corporations. It's particularly pernicious with utilities because when a utility has a monopoly, they can charge and do charge people whatever the utility can get away with.
Right.
People are paying too much for electricity. They're paying too much for privatized water or privatized sewer services. And this book, The Division of Light and Power, is really about the importance of cities owning their own utilities. There was the mayor who started Muni Light, the system that I fought to save, around the turn of the 20th century, he said that, "I believe in public ownership of public service facilities, of waterworks, of parks, of schools, of electric systems, because if you do not own them, they will in time own you. They'll corrupt your politics, rule your institutions, and finally destroy your liberties." That was true 110 years ago, and it's true now.
Yeah, but even local governments and municipalities can be rather corrupt as well. I think, and as you point out, it's the people just keeping an eye on this stuff. When you got the public down on you, you can change your tune a little bit, and it's awareness is what you're talking about here.
You're right, Ron. And let me tell you, when I was mayor the first time in Cleveland, there was so much corruption in government. I was able to reduce city spending by 18% without cutting services. And how? Eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse. Mm-hmm. You know, government can be a racket. And oh, do I know that? I mean, when I was in Congress, one of the first hearings I had was the Department of Defense had over $1 trillion in accounts they couldn't reconcile.
Yeah.
And they had over 1,100 different accounting systems,
yeah.
So you know, which are aimed at trying to make sure they can conceal money.
Yeah. No, yeah.
So I'm opposed to people getting ripped off, whether it's by private utility monopolies or by the government.
Yeah, yeah, I'm aware of the government thing. I lived during the past 4 years. Anyway, the book is available everywhere. It's Division of Light and Power. It's fascinating, and we've only just scratched the surface of what actually was going on back then and the things that you really went through. You kind of put your life on the line a couple of times.
I did.
It's just amazing what one must do just to make things right. But anyway, it's a fascinating book. And a prior book as well, Dennis Kucinich, The Courage to Survive, was an autobiographical work. And keep writing, my friend. And
thanks, Ron.
And
whatever you could do to pass the word about this book would be appreciated. This is an important book, not just to help civic activists, but it's also... It brings people inside to say how these things really work from the position of someone who fought City Hall from the inside as the mayor.
Yeah, well, these things are not discussed unless we turn in this direction, and that's why the book is so powerful. Thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it. Is there a website where people can follow?
They can go to Finney, Finney Avenue, Avenue, Books.
Great.
And they can get all the information about the Division of Light and Power, FinneyAvenueBooks.com.
Perfect. Pleasure speaking to you.
And thanks for your insight. Appreciate it.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been excellent in everything that you do. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until that time occurs, I wish you peace.